Here is a quick outline of the requirements for effectively studying and interpreting the Bible. First, the scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were not written for the spiritual elite, the doctors of the law, seminary graduates, or any selected religious groups. No, what is recorded in the scriptures was given according to the will of God for his people, all of his people, both the chosen, the adopted, and those grafted in. The scriptures were also made available, even in ancient times, to the goyim, nations, the strangers among the people, the God-fearers, and anyone willing to accept them. That is, God's word was given to the world for the world and everyone on it. It is God's personal commentary concerning himself. The sovereign God ultimately chose the Hebrew people to be the vehicle by which he would become known worldwide. The result is that if one desires to learn about the God of the Jews, the knowledge is freely available, even in poorly written translations. Any serious translation of the holy language into any known human language contains sufficient information to provide the path to reconciliation between the seeker of God's face and God himself. Anyone with a working understanding of their native language can achieve adequate knowledge to secure their salvation through a simple reading of the scriptures in their language. Now, this is where things begin to get a bit complicated. Second, to mature in one's walk with the Creator of the universe, one must also study the scriptures to show themselves approved before God. This means understanding what God expects, even demands, of his children. Then comes the truly challenging part, voluntarily surrendering all of oneself to the master of creation, just like a small child who submits to their parents' authority. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, since you know that we will be judged more severely. Yaakov, but the aim of our instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have strayed from these and turned away to empty discussion. They want to be teachers of the law, Torah, but they do not understand what they are saying or the things they insist on so confidently. But we know that the law is good if someone uses it legitimately. 1 Timothy 5:8. These two passages, taken in their original context, should give pause to anyone who seeks to elevate themselves above their brethren and receive the admiration of men. While everyone should become teachers at some level, Heb 5:12-14, we are admonished not to remain as infants, but to grow, mature, and bear fruit in the kingdom. However, becoming teachers of the Bible takes us into another realm of responsibility and accountability. When a teacher asserts that their knowledge, understanding, and interpretation, including application, of Scripture is right before God, those with lesser knowledge and understanding will accept the words of their teacher. If that teacher is in error and their students act upon their teaching, the student is as much in error as their teacher. Should a student fall into sin, or worse, because of the learning they have received, then the blood soul of that student is on the teacher's hands. What if there is a generation of such students? The teacher shall surely answer for their folly. So what is to be done? Who is to teach? What will be taught, and to whom? Third, those who have not yet attained a mature understanding of God's word may still teach others. One can and should share their testimony about what the Spirit and Word of God have accomplished in their life. They can discuss the scriptures that have impacted them and what has been achieved. As one grows in their knowledge and understanding, they should continue to share what they have learned confidently. When placed in the position of teacher in children's ministry, adult classes, etc., a typical response to questions you might be expected to answer is, "I don't know," or "I am not sure, but I think." This acknowledges that you do not have all the answers, but are willing to study, find the answers, and share what you learn. Additionally, encourage the students to study for themselves and to share what they have learned. Most of us are deeply enmeshed in our Western, Greek-centered worldview, severely limiting our ability to grasp what our Lord reveals to his children. It can be likened to a parent instructing a child not to enter the street. The child learns, often with some pain, not to disobey the parent. As children mature, they realize that playing in the street can lead to injuries from traffic. Eventually, the concept of non-existence, the reality of death as a constant danger of being on the streets, is comprehended. As one matures, the perilous nature of traffic becomes evident, along with the necessary awareness and steps for safe travel on the streets. While this illustrates the limits of our Greek thinking application, it still functions effectively for much of the population. It satisfies most of their perceived wants and needs. However, one can go much further in understanding and applying the concepts and principles of ground transportation systems to one's life. To better appreciate transportation systems, including their purpose, hazards, and benefits, one must significantly alter their perspective on traffic and transportation. Transitioning from simply being a user of roads and various modes of transportation to someone who designs, engineers, and constructs streets, overpasses, underpasses, railroad crossings, and more reveals that streets and traffic are interlocking and interdependent systems. Engaging in this process inevitably involves physics, chemistry, mathematics, human psychology, physical limitations, and various design constraints. One's perspective becomes more complex as it encompasses the broader interactions of one part of our society with all other aspects of our civilization. The street in front of my house is no longer a solitary object of focus, but part of a larger whole that I do not fully comprehend. We have metaphorically transitioned from a Greek mindset to a Hebrew mindset, much like the writers of the Bible. Fourth, there are a few things to remember while perusing the scriptures. The Bible is a collection of Hebrew books written by and for Israelites, not the Goyim, Gentiles, with a few notable exceptions. For example, the books of Luke and Acts were written to Theophilus, who, like Cornelius, may have been a God-fearer, and the mixed congregations of the first century New Testament era. There is no perfect translation of the Holy Scriptures into English or any other language. A commentary represents an individual's interpretation of Scripture. When you preach or teach the Word of God, you also contribute your commentary to the ever-growing collection. Your understanding of Scripture will never be complete, tamam, perfect, so remain open to correction and instruction. If you ever reach the point where you truly understand what you believe you know, you will become a spiritual giant. Avoid falling into the trap of reading the Scriptures as if they were written specifically to you. They aren't. Nevertheless, they were written with you in mind. Don't search for Scriptures to support your doctrines. Instead, search the Scriptures for doctrines to support. Just because someone receives widespread agreement for their position does not necessarily mean they have the correct one. I will share my approach to studying and interpreting Scripture. This is not intended for blind acceptance and implementation, but rather as a starting point for discussing various questions that may arise. What works for me might not work for you, so take what you find valuable and disregard the rest. May our studies be fruitful.